We're in Romans 4 this morning. Patrick took us through Romans 3 last week and did a fine job. But this morning we look at chapter 4 and we'll look at the first 12 verses. And we see in our study of man, study of the Christian man, that mankind strives to show God that he made a good decision in selecting him. We have trouble accepting the goodness of God, and basically we have trouble receiving unmerited favor, God's grace. I have looked and pondered the whys of God selecting me. Believe it or not, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know. I try to convince Lori of that, but she doesn't buy it. And I'm for sure not the most gifted teacher. There's many, many good teachers out there. So I have a little difficulty in wondering why God selected me. And after many years of God's favor upon my life, I come to a conclusion. It wasn't a conclusion from the scriptures or from the Holy Spirit, but it was my own little justification of God showing me his grace and love. I have determination. I have a real feeling when the going gets tough, I get going. And if nothing else, I feel like I'm persistent. When others quit and drop out, I answer the bell. And this is the way I thought subconsciously. God chose me to show me grace because of my determination. That was my justification. But through a series of trials and hardship, God showed me how weak I am and how truly unsettled I am. But many people have insecurities, but as a young man, I was active in sports. I had some ability and talent in baseball, and I used to honestly think when the game is on the line, when the pressure is there, hit the ball to me or let me come to bat with men on base. Now, this confidence in my athletic abilities, it was real, and it carried over into real life. Only to be discouraged. I was on a real good team, and we were playing for the league championship. The score is 0-0. I come up to bat, have a man in scoring position. I can be the hero. And I'm up to bat. To make a long story short, I grounded out. And I was surprised. I really was surprised that I grounded out. I failed to produce and was surprised. And that happened over 50 years ago. Stuck in the mind, though. And we lost, and I was devastated. Now, if I'd have gotten a base hit and we'd have won the game, that wouldn't have shocked me. But I didn't. I grounded out. But the Jews and the Christians, we have an example that Paul will tell us about, and that's Abraham. Abraham, the Jewish father of all fathers, and the seed of Abraham, the Jewish people are very proud of their heritage and the law of Moses. However, the law only shows us our failure to obey it. Jew or Gentile, we do not obey the law. So let's read Romans 4, 1 through 8. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, believes on him who justified the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God shall not impute sin. And that word impute will be used several times in this fourth chapter. But for God to impute, it simply means God holds us accountable. He holds us accountable for our behavior. And Patrick clearly pointed out last week how God still judges. He's still God, he's still on the throne, and he still judges mankind. The Mosaic Law clearly points out how we fail. Paul said, I wouldn't have known coveting was wrong except I read it in the law. We do not measure up to obeying the law. From the time the law was given to Moses, and that was roughly 2,000 years before Christ, the Jews had an opportunity for 2,000 years to work out obeying the law. 2,000 years. The young Jewish ruler comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, you want to have eternal life? Obey the commandments. But Jesus didn't even quote the God to man commandments. He quoted the man to man commandments. And the young man said, well, I've kept those. But he hadn't. That would have been an easy proof to show that he hadn't. But we have a right standing before God by the blood of Jesus, through grace, not by works. God allowed the Jews 2 millenniums to work out obeying the law, and they only complicated the law. But the law only shows that man is a failure in righteousness. Abraham had obedience. He listened to God. He left his homeland of Ur. He left wealth, security, sophistication, and he obeyed God's command. When God said, offer me up Isaac, your son. Offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And we look at Abraham's obedience to offer his son, and we marvel at it. That was real obedience. And we're impressed by the fact that Abraham was willing to obey God in that. But as obedient as Abraham was, he still fell short in righteousness. So if you're trying to gain God's justification or satisfaction before him through being good, give it a rest. You're not going to make it. We can, the longer we walk with the Lord, fall into what we call legalistic behavior. And all I say to that is, give yourself a break and let it go. The whole world and all the religions of the world, apart from Christianity, seek ways, behavior that will please God. You can pray like the Muslims and the Jews 3 or 4 times a day. You can help little old ladies cross the street. You can be the last one to go at a 4-way stop. Have you ever been at a 4-way stop and just sat there. I did this going home. We go through a couple four-way stops. And I told Lori, I said, I'm going to be the last one to go through this intersection. We sat there. And I'm looking at these people. I'm motioning them on. Nobody's going. Lori finally says to me, will you go through the stop sign? I did. But the Muslims, they are attractive to a lot of people because they're so strict. But the Muslim teachers, they're not sure that they have forgiveness. They are not sure that they have achieved forgiveness by their behavior unless, and there's only one way for a Muslim to be sure, and that's for him to die as a martyr. If you die as a martyr, you're guaranteed heaven. That's the only surefire way a Muslim finds loyalty from Allah. It's the only way they really, truly think they find heaven. But that's not forgiveness. That's deception. And the martyr dies in the hope. False hope, and how sad that is. Abraham, he's Paul's example of obedience, but he was not justified by obedience, but by faith. Faith that even a small child can offer to the Lord. So Abraham believed God by a simple act of faith, by his own free will, simply agreeing that God was righteous. And he imputed righteousness. Righteousness is an unseen acceptance of the truth of God, and by this, Abraham was righteous. Now, Abraham did please God with his obedience, but it was not his salvation. Multitudes of people go through life trying to reconcile whether to believe or not believe, you know, is God's word true? Is Christianity truly the way and so forth? And the Holy Spirit, he works on our hearts all the time. He works on the heart of an unbeliever lifelong to get that person to believe. Why is it so difficult for some to just cross that line and believe? And we know the story of Thomas, Jesus' disciple, chosen by Jesus, but he was a disciple of doubt. You know what Thomas said. You know the story as well as I do. I won't believe unless I put my hand in Jesus' side and touch the nail prints in his hands. Jesus later approaches Thomas. Come, Thomas, touch and feel and believe. Be believing and quit being unbelieving, Thomas. So belief is not a sorting out of facts, it's a choice. We choose to believe or not believe. Excuse me. And grace is something you don't earn. For if good works and obedience gave us grace, then we have earned grace. But we don't get grace by good works. There is a plumb line of acceptance, and that plumb line is the way of belief. Now, as I said, many religions, many world religions, have all these different things, all these different steps that you can do to try to please God. So, let me pick on the Catholics. They're fair game. A Catholic will confess his sins to a priest. The priest oftentimes will prescribe Do 20 Hail Marys and you will receive atonement for your sins, or you will receive grace. That is working for grace. That's not repenting and getting grace. That is not going to God and asking for grace. As a Christian, we all sin. I know that surprises you that your pastor would sin, but I do. And when I'm remorseful and want to show God that I'm truly sorry, I will do works. I will pray an extra 15 minutes the next morning. I will read a chapter or two extra just to show God, hey, good decision you made in me, God. And I subconsciously do good deeds to gain God's favor and approval. Because it's hard for me to accept grace, unmerited favor. And I only point this out, that we have a tendency to do good works of righteousness to show ourselves approved by God. But Paul points to David, a man after God's heart, and he quotes David, "Blessed is the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." And David goes on to say, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Blessed or happy is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin." David knew something about being forgiven. David was an impulsive man, but he was a man after God's own heart. But David sinned greatly. And when he was confronted about his sin with Bathsheba and the killing of her husband Uriah, Nathan the prophet had to come to David and had to tell David, "You have been forgiven by God." Because in the Mosaic law, there is no sacrifice for first-degree murder. You couldn't murder someone and then offer 20 lambs or whatever and receive forgiveness. There was no forgiveness for first-degree murder in the law. But when confronted by Nathan, David answers and says, "Against God and God only have I sinned." Now, what's wrong with that picture? I want to remind David, how about Bathsheba? Did you sin against her, David? And Uriah, you killed her husband. Did you sin against them, David? God takes sin personal. And David understood that if against God foremost and first off, he has sinned. And the rest is byproducts. The Bathsheba and Uriah, that whole story only reveals to us how offensive our sin is to God, especially murder. And God sent Nathan the prophet, "Go assure David that I've forgiven him." Now, David had to pay a penalty for his sins within his own family, but he had God's forgiveness. Now, lest we think only Jewish people receive grace, let's read verses 9 through 14, or 12, 9 through 12. Verse 9. "Does the blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Paul belabors the point, but he's pointing out Abraham, the father of all believers, while he was still uncircumcised, he received the assurance, the seal of righteousness. That opened the door for all of us Gentiles. All Gentiles who believe also have righteousness imputed to us. We are given the same right standing of any circumcised Jew who exists. God made provision for us. And Abraham, the father of all believers, circumcised or uncircumcised, was given righteousness while uncircumcised, showing that our heritage as a believer is established by faith, not by works. And the father of all fathers, Abraham, is Paul's example to us. And as Gentile believers, we also have the heritage of Abraham. Abraham, the father of all believers. So we, as Gentiles, are not second-class believers. For just like the Jew, the circumcised, for by faith we are justified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.